Now, back to the Profit Express on 88.7 FM, WRHU. Once again, here is your host, Tim Healy.
Well, hello and welcome back to the Profit Express. I'm Tim Healy, and you're listening to 88.7 FM, WRHU. So that was a rather interesting interview with co-founder and CEO of AOL, Mr. Steve Case himself, as we discussed his new book, The Third Wave, An Entrepreneur's Vision of the Future. And I hate to use the term. I think it gets thrown around too easily when you call somebody a pioneer or a visionary. But he's one of the few people, at least, you know, that I've spoken to here on the show that truly fits into that category. And he was at the forefront of the internet revolution, and he continues to be, you know, in his role as an investor. And so it's time for the bottom line benefit, and we're continuing on with the third wave, if you will, and preparing for the future. We have a special treat. Not only is it Bill Corbett, of course, who's the president of Corbett Public Relations, which is a media relations, social media, and personal branding consulting firm located not far from the studios in Floral Park. He's actually in the studio live. It's a nice treat. Welcome aboard, Bill.
Well, it's great to be here. This is our second wave of the show, so we'll have a good time. But excellent interview there with Steve. And getting a billionaire on the show, I think, is a good get for you. And that's definitely in the upper echelon of...
Yeah.
And how many shows have you done now?
330 was today.
That's a good milestone.
It is. We're going to be doing some celebrating soon, I promise. We're going to get a big, I don't have the name yet, but we're going to have a big in-studio guest. You'll, of course, be here. It'll be a big celebration for the show. Looking forward to that. 330?
Unbelievable. I think I've done probably about 30.
Yeah.
Well,
all right, once a month. You come on once a month, the bottom line benefit once a month.
I was looking at the list, and I keep notes from each show. I think they're up to about, almost about 30. Plus a couple guest appearances like today.
You filled in. You're my go-to fill-in guy.
I'm not far away.
You're good like that. You understand, you know, the media and helping out. Now, what I like, you know, and what I love about your segments, you know, you do a great job of tying into guests, and today was just a great topic where Steve Case was talking about the third wave. So the second wave, as he talked about in the book, which was, you know, the years of 2000 to 2015, where it was basically the apps economy, okay, social media just being kind of, you know, put on top of the initial foundation of the internet. You know, as he said, it's, you know, kind of peaking. Okay, so we're at the beginning of that third wave. And, you know, it's really about preparing for the future and what's out there. And I think sometimes, you know, you and I talk about this a lot, business owners, because, you know, you and I work in similar circles, servicing small business owners, servicing startups, you know, here in metro area. I think it could be hard for a lot of the typical small business owners to see forward beyond, you know, the business of payroll or accounting or whatever it may be. What do you find when it comes to people's visionary ability in marketing?
I don't think they have much of a vision. They understand. I don't mean that in a bad way, because they're tied up with the tyranny of the urgent and today's business. And that doesn't mean they don't plan for the future. They create marketing plans and business plans, and they work with people like you who are sales coaches, and hopefully people like me in the marketing field to think about the future, what they're going to do. But they don't think about the future and how markets are going to change and how industries are going to change, how technology is going to change. And sometimes it comes up and bites them. You know, it does hurt them. So they have to take a step back. And I like to recommend to people that they always are constantly learning and looking at different things. Read books like Steve's book you have here with us today, Third Wave. Look at visionary people, whether it's even a Bill Gates or other billionaires like Warren Buffett, etc. Because they're looking at a lot.
Musk's of our day,
right? And Elon Musk. I just was reading about him today, as a matter of fact, and his vision for the future and electric cars and electric energy and storage. So
that's another visionary. Elon Musk.
Absolutely. And he's almost. I did a little writing on that. today, and he has almost a messiah-like appearance to people. His storytelling and his vision for the future is really attracting people to him in a very almost cult-like way. Mm-hmm. So he's very, very interesting. And if you have an opportunity to see his TED Talk that he did a year ago, I recommend it to people. About 3 or 4 million people have watched it already. But if you want to learn a little about Elon Musk and what Tesla's vision or his vision with Tesla for the future, I would look at that. But look at places like TED. TED is a great resource for these visionary people.
You took the words right out of my mouth. You know how many great – I mean, I sometimes – it's almost like a – not even work for me. Over the weekend, I'll sit and I'll just start Googling, you know, go on YouTube and checking out different TED Talks.
You got a lot of time on your hands, Tim.
I do. way too much time. I'm just sitting there and, you know, what could I do now? But there's and I know you use it as a tool too.
Absolutely.
You're talking about so many great ideas in just about any possible topic out there.
Mm-hmm. You know? But it comes back to a little bit of what Steve was saying and you were asking him about is we're in an age, this information age, but we're also in an age of information overload. And that's a problem that business people have. And I talk to my clients about this all the time because we're in the marketing business. We have to break through all that noise that's out there.
Noise,
and when they say that you're hit by like 3,000 messages a day or some crazy number of messages, so you have to figure out a way to break through that. And you have to educate yourself. And that's where marketing, education, understanding communications, understanding demographics are super important because if you don't know your markets and how they receive information, you'll never be able to communicate with them and what new technologies they use to absorb and get information.
So let's talk about, you know, some of the typical listeners to the show, people who follow you, who follow me. How can a business owner stay on top of trends if they're not in a typical technology company? How do they stay on top of or inform themselves of trends and technology that can impact them?
I think one of the things, and I've been writing a blog series called Focus Friday since the beginning of the year, right? So every Friday I put out a blog, and it's dedicated to focusing on something or separating yourself for an hour or 2 hours to focus on some aspect of your business. And that's part of this too. You have to focus on the future. Focus on learning and going to different places and finding different things. So a couple of quick ideas. We talk TED Talks. Mm-hmm. TED Talks are great because they do have – they're 15 minutes for the most part.
Yeah.
They have these visionaries, and the people are awesome. They're great speakers. I have a personal goal to eventually do a TED Talk. I'd love to do that. Hopefully
Absolutely.
More than four people will listen to it or watch it. But on a larger scale or easier scale is a podcast. The podcast movement is just exploding.
Yeah.
There's a lot of tremendous people out there in a lot of different industries. I listen to people about social media. I listen to people about technology. But then I also listen to shows like This American Life and biographies and things like that that allow you to understand different people and their approaches. So this is learning through audio and visual. I love seminars and I love going to places like that. I don't have the time to commit to go to a full class per se for a year, but a seminar or a session with a thought leader in New York City or here at Hofstra, I've been to events that are great, and you have an opportunity to maybe even ask a question or get to see somebody up close, and that's really interesting to me. I'm gonna go old school. You have a book in the studio.
I still get the books from publicists. That's how I like it.
I do have a phone, on my Kindle on my phone. I have 3 or 4 books I'm reading at any given time,
right.
And I try to move the needle forward on all of them. But but you have to read whether it's blogs or books or whatever to absorb that information. The book is a deeper experience. And for some people, it's too deep. It's a lot of information. So they switch to the book on tape or the video. It can take 3 or 4 hours to listen to a book. It can take, 2 or 3 weeks to read it if you don't have the time. So
there's so many ways we could go with this. I mean, you're talking about learning. You talked about all there's more ways to learn now. They're easily accessible, free at a little cost, convenient. On our PDAs, wherever we can find it, but it's there. So it's not an excuse for a lack of information. There could be too much information. If you talk about, and we've talked a lot about on your segments here, you have the numerous social media channels, okay, and figuring out which one works for you. Is it Twitter? Is it LinkedIn? Is it Facebook? Is it a combination? Which it's usually a combination for most businesses. But have you seen, the educational part, when you're working with a client and you do market research for a client, okay, as part of what you do, are you at all involved in also encouraging them to do certain research and to get involved in that education you know, from your perspective at helping them understand their businesses better?
I think they have to. I mean, even if you have if you're an accountant or a lawyer, you still should understand, you know, communication technology, whether it's blogging or social media and other ways to communicate with your clients. Because look, we're all human beings. So while we may be an accountant or a lawyer or a real estate person, in our personal life, we are on Facebook. 1.5, 1.2 billion people are on Facebook. Mm-hmm. They share their lives there, and it's where we live and develop relationships. So Steve Case was talking about, you know, developing these relationships with people, and it doesn't necessarily matter where you develop those relationships, whether it's in a networking event or a business environment or at the sidelines of your kid's soccer game or on Facebook. You know, these are places where relationships are built, and some of them become business relationships, but other ones become important personal relationships. And I think a lot of people get with all this technology, kind of step away from the personal. Right. And I think that is a challenge that we have to address in terms of the relationships that people have. The young people prefer to have relationships online where they actually don't interact with people. Sorry to our fellow Costa students walking by the window here, but it is true. So we got to figure out a way. But when I work with clients, we have to educate them about what the marketplace is like, and we really have to encourage continual learning. And you're bringing it up a little bit about. And I'm a fan of looking at continual learning. There's online universities. There's courses. Mm-hmm, there's seminars. There's webinars. There's all sorts of things out there that can allow a person, a busy small business person in particular, to be continually learning and interacting at the same time with people and picking and choosing what they want to learn about. And I encourage people to do that. I do seminars myself, and a lot of people are at them, and they interact with us, which is great. But you have to be out there, and you have to make that focused commitment to an hour or two a week or a couple hours a month to really keep at least up with understanding what's going on.
Well, you have to, because it's very easy to go one way or the other, to completely just hide behind technology, emails, text, whatever it may be, or not embrace that. And either way, you're going to be at a disadvantage, because the communication, you know, the belly-to-belly over the cup of coffee, a lunch, a dinner, I don't ever see that going away. And maybe 20 years from now, they're going to laugh at me. I really hope that never goes away. I don't think it can, because it's part of our nature as human beings, you know, that the face-to-face interaction. But then also just not hiding behind. And I think even you know, our contemporaries, who might not be the millennials, sorry, I'm dating ourselves here, Bill, they're kind of getting comfortable behind the technology too much. I'm even seeing that. Are you seeing that?
I think they are. I mean, I fall into that category too sometimes. You know, is it easier to send somebody an email? But the problem is that person may never actually get it. Or actually read it, right, or actually care about it. So, but yeah, I do. That's not a fear; it's a challenge, I think, with this face to face, belly to belly, you know, interactions that people have, because you can't automate relationships,
right?
You know, and I think that's the real problem with the way that internet marketing and social media marketing has kind of developed. There's robots talking to robots, and there's no relationships being formed, and people are blasting out all these messages, but nobody's actually reading them. And generalizing, of course, but the things that work the best, the relationships that work the best, are the ones that have the human interaction. It could be email interaction, but there's actual interaction, not a canned email to one person and a canned response and I'm not in response back and forth. You can have these conversations without people.
Right. Well, and because if you have the human side, then when you do send out, you know, the links to the podcast or the email or the blog post, whatever it may be, then they're more inclined to engage in the content that you're pushing out, you know, on the marketing side. You're not going anywhere, right? You got some time to stick around?
I decided to come here, Tim. I'll stick around.
I'm feeling very, very honored by this. Don't go anywhere. Up next, of course, we got Bill Corbett sitting in the studios with us on the Bottom Line Benefit. We want to look at, we're kind of just following along my interview with Steve Case, co-founder and CEO of AOL, and his book, The Third Wave. And really what's coming up is, what are the opportunities for the world, as Steve was saying, for the healthcare sector, which is 1/6 of our economy, education, food, and transportation. So that's on a national and global scale. What are the trends that you can look at, again, looking to the future? What are industries that you, the business owner, can embrace and look at and maybe get ahead of the curve of your competition? We're going to discuss that next right here on the Profit Express.
Now, back to the Profit Express on 88.7 FM, WRHU, Once again, here is your host, Tim Healy.
Well, hello and welcome back to the Prophet Express. I'm Tim Healy. You're listening to 88.7 FM WRHU, and it's the Bottom Line Benefit, and we have Bill Corbett in studio with us. It's always a nice treat to get him sitting in the studio here. And Bill was continuing off of my first interview earlier in the hour when I had Steve Case, co-founder of AOL, on discussing his new book, The Third Wave. And essentially what Steve was discussing is how we are at the point in technology where, you know, we've moved beyond, you know, the apps, commerce, and social media aspect of the internet, and that's peaking, and now we're getting into how startups, how businesses, how entrepreneurs are going to work with the economies, the sectors of the economy, such as healthcare, which is huge, and it's woefully inadequate when it comes to technology. And then you have education, which for the most part is still operating in, you know, a 100-year-old system, if not more, and even food distribution, transportation. So now you might think that, hey, these are big, big sectors. They might not apply to me. But, Bill, let's think about it. You have a small business owner, and they have, you know, here's Steve Case is saying, these industries will need massive help. Massive help. And he, even in part of the book, he's saying, hey, you know what? If we don't get it right here, he even said, we could in America lose our, you know, footing as the number one nation for entrepreneurial innovation. So when you see these sectors, you know, healthcare, for example, what would you tell a business owner as far as, you know, the potential?
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I work with a client here on Long Island that's called Allegiant Health. They're out in Deer Park, right? Mm-hmm. And they're a remarkable company. The entrepreneurial spirit is alive and well. They're doing business across the United States. They're doing business in China. So there's a tremendous amount of opportunity. And I think that the structure of the American system, no matter how much people want to tweak it and do these other things, is it is the breeding ground for entrepreneurial spirit and the drive for that. And I can encourage people around the world and other countries to be more entrepreneurial, because I believe when that happens, it spreads democracy. It allows for freedoms, mm-hmm. and choice,
oh, yeah.
and a lot of things that whether it's communism, socialism, or dictatorial governments,
right.
Really inhibit. So even if we have a tough regulatory environment, particularly right now in New York State and in the country, we still have the best environment for entrepreneurial activities. And, you know, what's the saying that we may not have the best system there is, but it's really the only system for entrepreneurial mm-hmm. capitalism. So I'm a favor of that. And Case puts out a couple of very good, you know, points about that. But we never sit on our laurels. We have to always be right. looking to places like healthcare, financial services, even entertainment. Mm-hmm. You know, look at the growth of online and real world gaming, electronic gaming. You know, they predict that more people will watch the tournaments of video games than they're going to watch the NFL. In five or six or 8 years, the number of people who you go to Seattle, they'll fill out the entire dome where the Seahawks play with people who are watching these online these video game tournaments. I'm not kidding you.
I've never heard of that, and I'm from Seattle.
Right?
I believe you, but
wow.
Oh, maybe it's not the full dome there, but there are large groups of tens of thousands of people across the globe,
right.
who watch these and go to these events. It's not like it's just a passive thing at home. They will go out and watch these tournaments take place.
They have a following.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's bigger maybe in some other countries, but it's coming here and growing here. Mark my words. What day is today? April 6th.
April 6th,
mark the date. That there's predictions that more people will watch video game tournaments than will watch the NFL.
Oh, my goodness.
Amazing.
I'm not
buying it. No, shocking for Tim.
I'm not buying it, but you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if one day, you know, we're talking about that on the show in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't surprise me.
What is it? Twitchy? Twitchy is the website that Twitch that has all that content on there. So mark my words, you'll see that.
Wow,
I'm Mr. Prediction today.
That and tons of great facts. In between the break, you're just dishing out the.
I'm a plethora of useless knowledge.
Now, another interesting thing that Steve talked about was in the third wave partnerships. And he mentioned, and he actually said it kind of positively, that everybody, you know, trashes the government And yes, it can be bureaucratic. It can be lethargic. It can, you know, slow things down. But the one thing he said that was very interesting, because of the R&D of the government over the years, they've helped propel our GDP in, a, you know, GPS, radar, semiconductors, you know, the internet.
Velcro.
And the list goes on, were because of the various, you know, DOD, NASA, wherever they, these ideas came from. It was because of that research. And what he was saying is, you know, you're not going to really succeed in the third wave without partnerships. You know, he spoke about government. So now let's bring it to our level here and to the business owner, the law firm listening, the restaurant, you know, the accounting firm listening. How do you create partnerships? Because I think a lot of small businesses, I know I think this, they still have, as much as we've talked about it, kind of an isolated viewpoint. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll do it on my own, or I can do this on my own. But now partnerships are going to become more and more important, and even as employment changes, you know, the gig job, as we spoke about. So yeah. Partnerships, how important is it, and what do you need to do to form effective partnerships?
Partnerships are formed on the base of a need, right? So you have, say you have a law firm, and that law firm wants to market, or that law firm needs technology to provide something to a client or have a knowledge base. So if you can find providers of those services where you can create a strategic relationship, whether it's in a contractual basis or in a more casual basis, that they can be your go-to people to help a client out in a situation. They can be a marketing firm that will help you do something, and in return you provide legal services to that marketing firm. So it's going to be very, very interesting as we move forward. And you mentioned the gig economy, and in public relations in the marketing world, you know, we use a tremendous number of freelancers for writing, coding, for videography, for a whole bunch of different things. And those industries are ideal for it because I don't need a videographer every day.
Right.
But maybe once a week or twice a week,
right,
or whatever I need. So I can't afford to keep them on staff. But that person I can hire for 1 or 2 days a week or 2 days a month, but they can have other clients that they work with on those other days they're not working with me. So you could have people who are working multiple jobs, writers who are working multiple jobs. And I believe that there'll be, you know, college students and graduates who may never have never work for just one employer. They may work at home remotely for 5 or 10 different people during the course of a week or a month, an hour or two here, hour or two there. And that's becoming very much the norm. There's a company in New York City called WeWork. It's a co-working facility. They rent temporary office space. It's almost like a Starbucks with some offices around it that you can rent. It's not the same environment as Starbucks where you don't have to buy a cup of coffee like every hour or two. They won't kick you out. Here you pay a certain amount and you go in. And you read about WeWork. The owner of it was on the cover of Entrepreneur Magazine recently. And they've bought a tremendous amount of real estate in New York City. They're in London. They're in a lot of major cities. This is for people who are working this gig economy, but they still want to be around people. And the relationships where they can go in, work in a co-working kind of environment, and then, okay, I'm next door to a lawyer who's doing this. I'm next to a videographer who's doing this, or I'm next to a graphic designer who's doing this. And you can kind of play off each other. And this is like almost an incubator in a sense, but it's a co-working in a relationship. And these people are working for multiple clients to provide their services. They want to be in New York City because it's near everything, but they also want to be in that environment. Millennials want to be in this open environment where they can share ideas, listen to what's going on and contribute. They'll break out to a meeting room when it's deep and dirty and whatever you're talking about, special planning, whatever. But they like that environment. So the whole work environment is also changing, and the technology that the people work in those environments is adapting as well.
We got about a minute or so. If you have the one tool that businesses aren't optimizing, because, you know, you have content, and almost every business has a story to tell. They've got expertise to share. They have content, okay? So let's move past that. We all know we got content to share. What's the best format? Thinking in a forward direction as best we can, that you really are encouraging your clients to, you know, embrace. Is it podcast? Is it video? I know you talk a lot about video.
We've been talking about doing, you know, Periscopes and things like that. Mm-hmm. Well, look, Facebook has just dove in headfirst with streaming video. They're offering a whole suite of things related to their streaming video. there's 1.2 billion people on Facebook, and if they're offering that as a streaming opportunity, it's going to blow up in the next couple of years. So if people and they're going to allow people, like say we're in a group together, mm-hmm. say we're in the Success Solutions group, and we have 500 members, we can create specific live video content for the people within that group only. Or maybe we just want to share video content with just our friends. It won't be broadcast public unless we want it to be. So it's going to be very, I'm going to call it nichified, mm-hmm. in a sense where you can create live video content and Facebook. And there's live stream, and there's Google Hangouts, and there's Periscope. People need to learn how to adopt this technology to do it live, and that stuff's saved as well. So that becomes this stream of content that they can they can look at. I'm holding up my my iPhone here, and everyone can't see it because I'm on the radio. But I call this your PMD, personal marketing device. And we really are, through your personal marketing device, we are all broadcast companies now. We're all media companies now, and that's what people have to understand. They're not law firms anymore. They're not real estate companies anymore. They're marketing firms. They're communications firms
that do legal services,
right. That do real estate. And failure to adopt the understanding of the new marketing paradigm, that will cause a lot of pain with a lot of traditional businesses.
That's how you end an interview right there, Mr. Corbin. Well done.
I'm good with the tag.
Well said. And, of course, that's Bill Corbett, Corbett Public Relations. Thanks for coming into the studio today, Bill.
Anytime, Tim.
And great tie into the third wave, by the way. So this is the Profit Express right here at 88.7 FM WRHU each and every Wednesday, 6 p.m. Thank you for listening.